Starbucks Iced Apple Crisp Oat Milk Shake and Espresso. Made with blonde espresso, creamy oat milk, and spiced apple flavors. It's an icy crisp sip you can enjoy all autumn long. Order ahead on the Starbucks app.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, a quick hit podcast to get you ready for the day. Going to be a lot of Pirates talk here as I just finished watching, or a little bit ago, watched the Pirates beat the St. Louis Cardinals 2-1. Excellent pitching performance by Paul Skenes, really weird end to the game. And an important victory for the Pirates nonetheless, and trends developing. We'll get into all of that. Spent the early part of the day over at Steelers. Want to talk about that. Mike Tomlin, his three-year contract extension, and a couple extra things. But first, want to remind you that we're sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. Their appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day. The North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. The Pirates are obviously not at PNC Park. They're starting a road trip in St. Louis, one of my favorite cities, by the way. I take a whole bunch of crap for really liking St. Louis, and I don't care. I'm somewhat bummed that I'm not there. Andrew Destin is there. I told him I'm going to live vicariously through him, and he got one heck of a ball game tonight. A pitcher's duel between Paul Skenes and Miles Michaelis brought back shades of 2022 when Michaelis took a no-hitter. It was into the ninth inning. Cal Mitchell double saved it. Convinced me that I will never, ever see a no-hitter, which I've never seen professionally anyway. Certainly, obviously, have not covered one, and that's sort of a running joke among the beat writers. But in any case, an excellent game tonight. I want to start with Paul Skenes because I think he was absolutely fantastic and just continues to amazingly get better. The thing that stood out to me the most tonight was his curveball and slider usage. It started out with the curveball. It evolved to the slider. We haven't seen him use a ton of spin. No, he has it. It was very good in the minor leagues. It's been mainly four-seamer and splinker. Well, for whatever reason tonight, he leaned a lot on his curveball early on, and it was outstanding. Looking early on, strikes out Mason Winn. Alec Burleson gets him on that. Out of his first six strikeouts, five were on spin pitches. Only one of those was on a splinker, and the other two were four-seamers. What that says to me, I mean, it reaffirms what I already know about Paul, but he's so smart, way, way, way beyond a typical 22-year-old. But to be able to game plan accordingly, and this is actually something I've talked about with his college coach, Jay Johnson from LSU, that he has different weapons that he's able to pull out, shelve, use at various times. And we're already seeing that. Six starts in, it's baffling how mature he is. And just, it's like not a big thing. Like, it shouldn't be that easy to just say, hey, I'm going to throw more curveballs. I'm going to throw more sliders. I'm going to land them for a strike. I'm going to get swing and miss. I'm going to do all kinds of fun stuff with them. And Paul has done that. 2.43 ERA thus far, 46 strikeouts in 33 and a third innings. Gets to another point that I think that is probably about time I make. The Pirates were right on this. They were right on how to handle Skenes, probably all along. I think we've seen enough of a sample there, but I like the fact that they delayed his start of the season and they're cognizant of his innings because now the training wheels are off. Tonight, 103 pitches, 74 strikes, just absolutely pounding the zone. No walks, eight strikeouts. Exactly what you would want. He's a normal starting pitcher. He's an ace. I mean, look around the rest of the National League. You're not going to find anybody at Paul Skenes' level. And he's there and available for the Pirates as they hopefully make a push for this thing. Between him, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller, Bailey Falter, we've been over and over that. But what they wanted to avoid was a Steven Strasburg-level shutdown. And they've set themselves up for that. There should be no reason that Paul Skenes goes away. Nothing should change. Nothing should change. If anything, there's a little bit of a different looming question with what happens with Jared Jones. But I'm not about to worry about that right now. Enjoy what they have. Those guys are pitching great. Continually impressed with Paul Skenes. Okay, so I want to go to some other takeaways, but I guess this is kind of going off of Skenes, but the ovation was so cool. Busch Stadium. It really is a great baseball town. And I know some people will disagree with that or curse the Cardinals or whatever. You're free to feel however you want. I've spent a lot of time there. It is an absolute locked-in, awesome place to watch a baseball game, and good on them for doing that. I thought that was a really, really special moment. Miles Michaelis was excellent too, by the way. I like watching him pitch. Adam Wainwright was always one of my favorites, just kind of a throwback, the Uncle Charlie, all that stuff. Michaelis is anymore, not too much different, but hats off to him. Very impressive. Pirates have won 9 of 15 lately, by the way. They have turned some things around. Outside of tonight, they've been scoring a lot of runs since Paul Skeens came up. Seems to be the missing link to some of their success. David Bednar gives up the home run in the ninth. Really don't care about that. The bullpen, once again, Chapman, Holderman, Bednar getting it done, an important part of their game. The only thing that I would look at sort of critically from this one is I still don't understand what they're doing with Jack Sawinski. He looks to me like somebody who needs more time in the minor leagues, and I've said that. Did walk in his third and final plate appearance, but struck out in the previous two. I don't see a lot there. If you flip over to the National League standings, it's an interesting place. The Pirates are in second place right now, but you have four teams, the Cardinals, Reds, Cubs, and Pirates, all bunched up behind the Brewers. Even seeing the Brewers, I don't see the Pirates as being, you know, that far away. I don't see, and this is exactly, I think, what we thought going in. There's a bunch of mediocrity there. It's very much there for the taking. The Pirates, if they continue playing this way, playing clean baseball, getting good starting pitching, scratch out enough runs, the bullpen doing what it should do,
Hear that? Pumpkin. That's fall calling. And the pumpkin spice latte is back at Starbucks. From that first sweater to late autumn weather, it's all a fall in just one sip. Order ahead on the Starbucks app.
Intriguing. Second half, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they're putting themselves in a very good position here, and I want to see them continue to do it. Weird ending to the game too is the final point. I don't know if I've ever seen in a lot of watching baseball, playing baseball, a replay reviewed check swing catcher interference call sustain the game. That was a new one. So credit to David Bednar for buckling down. I didn't have any problem with what he did in the ninth. He gave up the home run. So crap. I want my closer with nobody on, nobody at challenge guys. Doesn't matter. And Bednar handled himself well. He has handled himself well for some time. And it was the right call on the you can't argue. I mean, I disagree with the idea that replay cannot review something that doesn't reach first or third base. On principle, if you're going to do it all and do it right. But in that setting, I don't have any problem with what they did or what the call was. It was correct. It was just very weird. All right. So I think that does it for the baseball topics. Want to pivot over to Steelers just a little bit. I feel like we're kind of bumping up against the Tomlin ad nauseum stuff. Maybe that's because I also have a column out this morning talking to some guys about, you know, what this Tomlin extension means for them, offering my own two cents on it. But that was just the feeling that I couldn't shake being over at Steelers on Tuesday for the first day of minicamp, is they love talking about how much they love playing for this guy, how great of a coach he is. Pat Freiermuth said it's the best coach he's ever played for, which I don't know whether that was a swipe at James Franklin, probably just something he said. But a lot of the guys addressed it, and that's great. And I think they do love playing for Mike Tomlin. But if you want to demonstrate that, there's a way, maybe play better. That's something that we've kind of swept under the rug with, you know, some issues with George Pickens on the sideline, Deontay Johnson, not going to recover a fumble, not blocking, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously not the first rodeo with some disciplinary issues with the team. Again, I don't think that's a huge deal. I still think that a lot of why Mike Tomlin has been unsuccessful has been, you know, an offense that hasn't given him enough. Maybe an offensive line that didn't have enough, maybe a defense at other times that was short. I don't think it's necessarily because he's just not a good enough coach. I think sometimes coaches get a little bit too much credit and a little too much blame all in the same way. But that was just something that I left Steelers thinking, that if you like Tomlin so much, play better for him. Give him a better product. And I think they're on their way to doing that. Frankly, I've been largely pleased with what they have. Talking to Tomlin, some other guys about, you know, the offensive line growth. Pat Meyer, the offensive line coach, was talking about how quickly Troy Fautanu and Zach Frazier have picked some things up. And I mean, it's easy to say in shorts, right? But you like what you see. You like what you see, and I just I want to see more, I guess, is a baseball thing I keep coming back to. And everything looks the way it should at this point. So I think that's it. Oh, Tomlin addressed the Cam Sutton stuff. I thought it was interesting that it was the first time he's talked since they signed Cam Sutton. I've talked on here a little bit and just wanted to loop around there. I didn't fit it into my column, but one of the things, Tom, it's not any conversations that we've had recently. It's the totality of our relationship. Talked about meeting Cam Sutton. It's less about specific conversations, particularly late. It's about the relationship established over a longer period of time. Most stand in the right for Tomlin saying that. And I wrote this when it came out. I hope they're right. All of that maintains. But it was interesting to hear Mike speak on it. I do think the Steelers think that they have a line in to help Cam Sutton, or, you know, help ameliorate the situation, however you want to look at it. And I certainly hope that they are correct, because it's an ugly situation. Nobody wants to, you know, nobody should be going through that. And if you're in a position to help, I'm glad that they are. I'm mostly just glad that, you know, hopefully there was, it's not as bad as it sounded. So anyway, that does it for me here. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Talk a little bit more baseball, a little bit more football, maybe some hockey. We'll see. Thank you for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe and get all of this content and other stuff from our Post-Gazette writers.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.